Okay, we're going to start the top of Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph. Gemara is continuing here with the machloket between Rebbe and the Chachamim about the ability to transfer a loan document, whereas Rebbe believes that Mesira is sufficient. Handing over such a document allows you to now become or stand in place of the creditor. As the Chachamim require not only that you do Mesira, but you also do Ktiva. And now you can't just hand it over, but you also have to write a document that indicates that you haven't simply sold them the paper that is written on, but actually the shibud, or what's contained inside the paper, is what you are selling him. So we saw that Rav Papa described to us what has to be written in the document. It was Haiman de Mazamin le Shtar le Chavre, Tzorch Miktav le Kanei le Cha, Hu v'chol shibud de Bey. Then Rav Ashi came and challenged, held like Rebbe's position, and challenged that and said, I don't understand why you need ktiva, why isn't Mesira sufficient? And the response from Rav Kahana was, yes, you do. That's right. You do need Mesira and ktiva, otherwise people are going to think that the paper is used for stuffing or corking of a bottle. So now the top of Ayin Zayin is Amar Meimar, Hilchata, Otiot, Niknot, B'Mesira Karabi. That Alocha is like Rabbi, that Otiot or Niknot, B'Mesira. So if you look in the Rashman, the first line of the Rashman says, that's Chachi Garsina. That's the Girsa here. The Girsa here is that the Locha is like Rabbi. He says, V'chein riyato de Gemara, umaskarna v'harei mekomot. He says that if you go through the Gemara in many places, throughout Shas, and the conclusion of those Gemaras, it would be like Rabbi, that otiot are niknot b'misira. And therefore, this is consistent with that psak throughout Shas, that otiot are niknot b'misira. And therefore, the Locha here is like Rebbe. Now, it's just interesting to note that the Rashbam in the previous Amud, when he's speaking in Rav Papa, said about Rav Papa, Kenei Lecha, he says, Ulefrushayato, the Hilchato Kedarabanan, the Pliga Lei Rabbi, coming to explain the position of the Chachamim, because Allah is like the Chachamim, the Hilchato Kedarabanan, the Pliga Lei Rabbi. So, I don't know, over there he suggests that Rav Papa's statement, I mean, I think he's saying it in Rav Papa himself also, that Rav Papa is doing it because Allah is like the Chachamim, he's explaining it, but it sounds to me like the Rashbam is making a broader statement, that Hilchasa Kirabonim. And over here, the Rashbam clearly says that Allah is like a Bayin. Now what the Rashbam and the Gershon is Gemara is subject to a major machlokas, and that's because Tosfos, so you can look in a Tosfos Amar Meimar, there was actually another Gersa in this Gemara. The other Gersa was Kut. Actually, two other possible girsot in the Gemara. The Reina Tam and the Reed thought that the girsa was Ein Otiot Niknot B'Mesira Kirabanon. The Hachi Uchaso. They said, no, that the Loch is like the Chachamim, the Loch is like the Rabbanon, and therefore reads over here Ein Otiot Niknot B'Mesira Kirabanon. The Loch is like the Rabbanon and not like Rabbi. There was actually a third girsa, girsa of the Geonim, that said Ein Otiot Niknot B'Chalipin. That otiot, you can't exchange a contract or a shtar in this manner of chalipin. So there, it's chalipin doesn't work, but the indication is that mesira would work. But that's the third gear, so third possible gear over here. So it's subject to a major machlokas. Tosfos over here basically goes through the different sugyot and shas throughout the shas to prove that his point is correct, that the halacha is like the rabbanan, and to answer all the places, the numerous places where it sounds like the halacha is like Rabbi. That's a big Tosfos over here, spends the time doing that to ensure that the Halacha remains like the Chachamim, and based on the Girsa that they want to place here. The Rashbam's Girsa was obviously opposite. The other, the big person who wrote a tremendous amount here is the Tosfos Arid over here. The Tosfos Arid says that the Girsa is like the Girsa of the Rashbam. Tosfos Arid says, Keach Nirat Li, HaGirsa Kedegoris Rabbi Shmuel. That the Rabbeinu Shmuel, like the Rashbam, the Girsa here is like the Rabbeinu Shmuel, that the Locha is like Rabbi. So then the Tosfos Reed goes through all the same Gemaras that the Tosfos himself goes through, but obviously with the opposite position. So all those that are questioned for Tosfos become support for the Tosfos Reed, and those that are support for the Tosfos Reed. And Tosfos Reed goes in detail through each one of these, explains, and he mentions the other position, like the position of Tosfos, and shows why he disagrees. But then he brings down a very interesting. Tosfos Reed over here brings down very, very interesting mamarim from the Geonim. He writes over here, Ubal halachot gedolot katav. Ubal halachot gedolot writes, Amar Meimar, Hilchata einotiot niknot bichalipin. And that's the way I've quoted in our Tosos here. In the beginning of the Tosos, it says, Katavro yudaigon einotiot niknot bichalipin. The Girsa is not about Mesira, but rather about Chalipin. Umeymar. And from this we conclude the Sover, the Mesira nicknate. The Mesira would work. I mean, it's Chalipin that doesn't work, but Mesira would work. Mishum achikata bichalipin. That's why he wrote over Chalipin over here. So ein otiot niknot bichalipin, but they are niknot b'mesira. Ulkamei katav, and then further on he writes v'hilchasa otiot niknot b'mesira k'rebi. Later on, the Baal HaChatz Gadol agrees with me. The Tosfos reads and says that the halacha is like Rabbi, that otiot are niknot b'mesira. And then he says an amazing statement. He says the kaimelon halacha k'Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar begitin damar edei mesira karte. He says that the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar in the Gemara in Gittin, meaning that there's a machlokas of Elazar and the Merbi Meir about how edim are on a contract or a shtar, how do edim work? Is it the edim mesira that are karte? Is it the edim that witness the actual transference that are the ones that determine or create the kinyan? Or is it edim chatima, which Rabbi Meir says, which is that the signing of the edim on the document is what makes, they puts the document in force? So the machlok is there. Rabbi Elazar says Eide Mesira Karte, and Rabbi Meir says that Eide Ketiva, Rabbi Chatima, are Karte. So the Baal HaLachos Gadolos connects the two machlokot here. He says Rabbi holds that Mesira works by Ishtar, because he holds, like Rabbi Elazar, that Eide Mesira Karte. So since he thinks Eide Mesira Karte, therefore Mesira is sufficient in terms of moving or giving over a contract. Rabbi Meir, who says, and that's going to be the position of the Rabbanan will be that just like Rabbi Meir says, Eidei Chatima Karte, therefore they require not only Mesira, but also Ktiva, in order to pass on the contract over here. It's not simply enough to have Mesira, you have to have a Ktiva as well. So they connect this here, the Baal HaLachos connects them, and also later on, let's just read the quotes, the Rav Hai Gaon in the same way, that connects between the machlokas of passing the shtar chov to the machlokas of otiot, the otiot nikdo b'sira, with the machlokas of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Meir about whether the ede b'sira karte, ede chatima karte. Tosfos Reed on the spot rejects that. He says that I agree with him with regards to, he says, v'apsak shalo nirali nachon. His Pesach Halacha is right, that Halacha is like Rabbi. But what he's mistaken about over here is, of Amash Mistayim Rabbi Elazar, Eino Nirali. That is proof that Eide Mesira Karte from Elazar, that doesn't make sense. The Lo Shayach Chuktai Lachacha. Says their Malchokra has nothing to do with over here. He says, according to the Chachamim, that you have to write it and give a contract, then their Malchokra is Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Meir will be Shayach. That contract that you have to give in order to transfer the other loan document, does it have to have Eidim Sinai, or does Eidim Sira sufficient? But not that their machlokas is the same machlokas as Rabbi and the Chachamim. The Rabbi could, and the Chachamim could hold either like Rabbi Elazar or like Rabbi Meir. They are discussing about contracts, about how, what puts the contract in force. They're not talking about how to transfer, or how you could transfer a contract. That's an independent problem. It's a separate problem of whether you can transfer something that's not gufo mamon, right? Can you do it through Mesira? Are you able to transfer milim or intangible items? But nothing to do with the fact that Eide Mesira Karte or Eide Chatima Karte. But it's clear that the Gaonim believed that there was such a connection. And therefore, it's interesting what the Rav Hai Gaon says also. Says, Shayud Gimel, Sefer Mekach Memka, Shechiber Katav, Mishyesh Lo Shtar Chov Al Chaveru, Umicharol Adam Acher, sells it to a third party, Afilu Mkatav Lo Shtar Mecher, Al Oto Shtar Chov Lo Kona, Achiten Lo Shtar Kedivir Rabotenu. So he paskins like the Rabbanan. Odiot niknot mesira, divrei Rabbi Yochamim, omrim ben shekatav velo masar, ben shemasar velo katav, lo kana shekhtov imsar. So Rabbi Yuda, Rabbi Haigon, paskins like the Chachamim. Ve'ne'mar, halacha kechachamim. He says, halacha is like the Chachamim. Vazeh amru, Rabbi Savalak, Rabbi Elazar. The Rabbi Yozak, Rabbi Elazar. The Amra Eidi Mesira Karte. So therefore, why? So why is that limit Rabbi? Because Rav Hai Gaon, this is subject to a major machlokas of the Rif and the Tosfos in Gittin. We saw this Tosfos in Gittin about does Rav Elazar, what the Pesach Halacha of Rav Elazar, that Eidim Mesira Karte only apply to Gittin, or does it apply to Shtarot, other contracts as well? So here Rav Hai Gaon is going to say it's limited to Rav Elazar Atzmaolo, it's Kaimu Darav Elab Gittin. Rabbi only applies by Gitin. That Edim is Sira Karti only works by Gitin. Avar Shtar Shtarot Ein Alocha Ka Rabbi Lazar. By other Shtarot, Alocha is not like Rabbi Lazar. Vezeh Perish Rabbeinu Rishonim. Says that's the Rabbeinu Rishonim, that the Alocha here is like the Chachamim. And since the Alocha is like the Chachamim, is because even Rabbi Lazar, who we think Rabbi holds like, the Alocha of Rabbi, like Rabbi Lazar, is limited to Gitin. Doesn't apply to any other Shtarot. So you can't apply Rabbi to other Shtarot if he holds like Rabbi Lazar, because Rabbi Lazar's halacha is limited to Gitin in halacha. Tosfos in Gitin, other places says that Rabbi Lazar is not limited to Gitin, but expands, it has more expansive role, that it's not simply Gitin, but also other Shtarot are affected by the Pesach of Rabbi Lazar. If that's the case, then Rabbi could be expanded. But that all assumes that it's correct. The fact that Mesira works here versus Mesira Bektiva is connected to the Machloket. At the end, the Tosfos reads, there's an amazing thing. He quotes from the Rabbeinu Chananu, again about this. He says that Rabbeinu Chananu says that the Psak of a Meimar is right because he's a Batra. So therefore, the Aloch is like the Chachamim that argue on Rabbi. He says, and the Aloch is not like Rabbi. He says, that's the Kabbalah that I have from my Rabbanon. That's what the Rabbi Nochanan says, I have a Kabbalah. And he writes, Velulia Kabbalah, says, had it not been for this Kabbalah, Rabbi Nochanan, and Yotam Achi, Ha'avina Paske Shekachta Atenu Noten, Milo Samchina Ela Kabbalah De Biyadan. Says, had I not had the Kabbalah, I would have passed him like Rabbi, because the Gemara sound much more like Rabbi. But nevertheless, since I have a Kabbalah, that the Aloch from my Rabbanon, from the Rabbis, that Aloch is like the Chachamim, and therefore I have to paskin like the Rabbanon. It says, V'chein pasku gam ra'itzach mipas, Rabbi Yossi ben Resi ben Migash, D'ein et otiyo nikno b'sirak chachamim, V'chein katav Rabbi Shmuel ben Chafni, Arit b'sefer ma'adne shechiber. He says, and then the Tosfos Reads says an amazing thing. He says, V'einu nirali, la'arot b'lasot maseh, kim kashir katavti. He says, I totally disagree. I said, Alocha is like Rabbi, otiyo t'nikta b'sira, Kach hayta tzvarat bal halachot gedolot v'agonim haktonim. And this is the way the bal halachot gedolot wrote. And the early gonim wrote this. V'achay kein nitchadsha v'achronim svarazu. All of a sudden these newbies came along and started this whole thing about the halacha is like the chachamim. V'ein l'smoch el al asvara kashir mochachot ha-shechirot. Says that we can't go after. As opposed to Rabbeinu Chananel says that we're subject to the Misora. Here, the Tosfos Reads says we're not subject. We have to look at what the Svara. The Svara says that it's not this way. We know, first of all, that all the early Gaonim thought the Halacha was like Rabbi. Plus, the Svara is noted that that should be the case. And who are these new people to say all of a sudden there's a Misora that the Halacha is like the Chachamim, and therefore the Halacha is like Rabbi. Right? So here, a major machlok is whether the Halacha is like Rabbi and the Chachamim. Number one, and number two, about what the Girsa is in our Gemara. And number three is, the Machlokas Rabbi and Chachamim, is that also the same Machlokas that Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Meir have in the Gemara and Gittin about whether Eide Chatima Karte or Eide Mesira are Karte? And if it is subject to such a Machlokas that we saw in the Rabbi Haigon, maybe that will limit the Psak of Rabbi. Depending on how far you think Rabbi Elazar goes with Eide Mesira Karte, that will limit Rabbi's position to as far as Rabbi Elazar will go with Eide Mesira, as far as we pass him like Rabbi Elazar with Eide Mesira Karte. Obviously, the Tosfos Reed believed otherwise, that the two are not connected, they're independent machlokot, and the halacha is like Rabbi according to the Tosfos Reed. Alright. Continuing the Gemara. Amalei Rav Ashi l'Meimar. Gemara Asfara. Rashi says to Meimar, is this a Mesora that you have that the halacha is this way, or is this from a logical argument? So Amalei Gemara, it's a Mesora I have that the halacha is like Rabbi. So Amalei Rav Ashi, Svara Nami Avi. He says that there's also a logical argument. What's that? The otiyot mile ninhu. Otiyot are simply words, meaning that they're intangible items. Umile bimile lo meknein. And you can't exchange, you can't move words with words. Meaning that if Mesira doesn't work, then the shtar shouldn't work as well. A shtar can't change the fact that you have a shtar written on paper here, that's written between two parties. The fact that you write another shtar on top of it has no ability to transfer the other shtar. So if that has no ability, then either Mesira works or Mesira doesn't work. And therefore the Halacha is like Rabbi. Since you can't transfer these Mile with a shtar, therefore you must have Mesira. Mesira is the only way to transfer it. And therefore the Halacha is like Rabbi. Because if you think the Halacha is like Chachamim, the addition of the shtar does nothing. Because a shtar cannot transfer these intangible words or these words that were already documented in another shtar. Mar says below, is that really true? You can't move words with a shtar. Vama Rabba Bar Yitzchak, Kamar of Shnei Shtarotim. There are two types of Shtarot. Zochu b'sadeh l'floni. He says to Edim, go ahead and take possession of this field on behalf of someone else. V'kotvu lo et ashtar. And then write to him a shtar. So he hands them, they go, they take possession of the, somehow he does a kinyan chalipin, he does some sort of kinyan, with these two Edim. So zochen adam shlo b'fanaf. So therefore, he takes possession of the field. Chuzer b'shtar v'in chuzer b'sadeh. This individual can reverse his position when it comes to the shtar, but not with the sadeh. The sadeh, they took kinyan on it, it happened immediately. Now, they didn't write the shtar yet. So since they didn't write the shtar yet, therefore he can renege or retract that gift, or that right of writing the shtar, because that's not written yet. Since it's not written yet, he can reverse his position with regards to that. But as far as the matana aspect of the sadeh, that is consummated already. Amenat. The Tosfos over here discusses whether this is only applicable by Matana or also has application by Mecher, by Sale, because by Matana, there's a possibility that you wouldn't write a Shtar. On the other hand, by a Mecher, by a Sale, all sales are meant to be documented. So if he says by the Shtar that he sold it, and then he wants to pull the Shtar, why should he be able to pull the Shtar, number one? And number two is, with Edim, Edim are enough to create a Shibud HaKarka. It's as if the Shibud HaKhasim happens just with Edim. You don't need the Shtar. The writing of the shtar does not detract from his rights in any way, and therefore maybe by mecher, it's machlok in the Tosfos, whether mecher is subject to this ability to reverse on the shtar or not. Right now, second type of contract is amanat shetich tevelo et shtar. You give him the property on the condition that you write for him a shtar. Then chozer v'im shtar v'im sadeh. Over there, he can reverse both of them. Why? Because the gift is premised, or the sadeh is premised on writing of the shtar. So until the shtar is written, the gift is not consummated. If the gift's not consummated, he can retract or he can renege on his deal because the shtar has yet to be written. It's not just two. There's a third case that you didn't mention, which is what? Trey had Amran, the two that you mentioned. V'idach, what's the third one? Im kadam mocher, v'kotav et ashtar. What happens if the mocher unilaterally writes the shtar? The seller writes the shtar. So this is, like we have learned in other places, kotvim shtar la mocher, that you're allowed to write a shtar to Rafa Pishen Lokechimo, even though the buyer's not there. Why? What are we worried about? We're worried about that the transaction never goes through. And then the mocher, the seller, loses the shtar. Somebody's going to pick it up, and then the lokeach is going to end up with the shtar. We're worried about that. That's the mocher's problem. The mocher is willing to take that risk. He's willing to have it written and take the risk that it might get lost. Why should we worry about him if he's not worried about that risk? So we let him do that. We let him take such a risk to write or to document such a shtar. So that's what he said. Kotvim the shtar, the mocher, v'pishan lokeachimo. So the Agmar says, "Kevin shehikzigze bekarka nikne shtar b'chol makom." Right. So now, since he took possession of the land, the shtar goes along with it. Makom shu. Right. So that wherever the shtar is, it'll go along. Why? Because the shtar predates the property. Since it predates the property, therefore it'll be included in the package when you sell the. When you give over the land, right, or you give the possession of it, it automatically goes, right? So how does it work here? Zui shishaninu, this is what we learned. Nechasim she'en lehem achrayut, nikdim, im nesrim she'esh lehem achrayut, kesef shtar chazaka. So that's exactly what you just suggested, right, that the kinyan here is the kinyan agav, that since he takes possession of the karka, gav karka, he's also able to take possession of the shtar. So now the Gemara says, this is the question. Over here you see, going to the Rashbam, the way the Rashbam learns it is you see from over here that his simple statement that take possession of the karka also allows you to take possession of the shtar over here. He says take possession of the karka and the shtar goes along with it. So through your words, you're able to create a kinyan on the shtar. So the Rashbam says, well, that's a kal vachomer. If through your words you can create the ability to take possession of a shtar, certainly if you write a shtar, that you should be able to take possession of another shtar. So that's the challenge to the position of Rav Ashi, that you can't move or you can't change ownership of a shtar from one to another through a shtar. Over here we see you do. Over here you have a shtar that is changing possession by the simple utterance of words, which are take possession of this karka for so and so, or here is this karka for you as a gift. And as soon as you take possession of the karka, you get the shtar with it. So words are allowing. So very good. That's going to be the Gemara's answer. Exactly. That's Gemara's answer. So the Ava Mino is that no. It sounds like over here that the Havana is that Mila Greide, simply the utterance of your words is what does it. And the answer is going to be exactly what you suggested over here. Because there's a masa over here. We're going to see that there's a masa over here. It's not simply mile because of the Kinyan Agav. That Kinyan Agav is going to create the masa. That's the way the Rashbam learns it. Tosfos over here disagrees and says that he doesn't think that the Kinyan over here it has to do with mile like the Rashbam is saying, but rather what their view of Kinyan Agav was. So he says, Veneer is a farish halacha. I'll just read in the middle of the Tosfos here. Parach v'ha gav mile ninhu v'kinyan garuahu. He says that many a Kinyan Agav is a Kinyan Garua. It's not a full-fledged Kinyan. It's a Kinyan that just pulls all the things along with it. So if you say Kinyan Agav is a Kinyan Garua, then it should be the same way by a Kinyan Shtar, that you should be able to write a Shtar to transfer ownership of another Shtar. Right, so it should work over here. So then the Gemara's conclusion is no. That it's not a Kinyan Garua, but rather it's a Kinyan, a strong Kinyan. That's what it means, Kinyan Agav, is a good Kinyan. And that's, therefore, that's the Havamina to the conclusion of the Gemara is about whether, at first, the Gemara thinks that it works, because Shtar goes along with the Kinyan here, and we were thinking that a Kinyan Agav is a simple Garua Kinyan. And the Gemara's conclusion is no, Kinyan Agav is a full-fledged Kinyan. Because we'll see in a second why they feel like it's a full-fledged kinyan. He does in the end bring the Rashbam Shita, which he has some questions on, and then in the end he says maybe we can explain. The Rashbam Shita is that he says that you will not take possession of the property until you're magzik, right? Even though mikom milenin who came to kani yedei mash nitratzeh, that the agreement to take possession of the property, even though you're going to be machzik in the property, you're doing a full-fledged kinyan here. Nevertheless, since the instructions are what generate the kinyan, therefore, maybe it's enough to be called milei ninhu. It doesn't love the Rashbam's explanation. Right, so now what's the Gemara's answer? The Gemara's answer is, agav shiny. Kinyan agav is different. Why is a kinyan agav different? Amat be'at lo nikne b'chalipin. A coin, this we had for a long time in Bava Metzia, a whole sugya in Bava Metzia about whether Matbeah's Kinyan, there can be Nikne B'Chalipin or not. Can you do Kinyan Chalipin on a coin or with a coin? Agav, Ara, Nikne, nevertheless, it still works in a Kinyan Agav. So you see that Kinyan Agav is a stronger Kinyan. Right, so that's, again, the answer of the Rashbam, even though it seems like in the Havamina, the Gemara is already a Kinyan Agav, sounds like that the Rashbam thinks in the first place that the Kinyan Agav was only if he takes possession of the property, then he will take possession of the contract. So therefore, his mile are what directing it. Whereas at the end, the Gemara says, no, Kinyan Agav works without any instruction. As soon as you take the Kinyan Agav works right away. So that's the answer in the Rashbam. Whereas the Tosu says that they originally thought Kinyan Agav was Garu, and then the Gemara says, no, Kinyan Agav is a better Kinyan. Because here you have Kinyan Chalipin, and even though a Kinyan Chalipin will work, a Kinyan Agav will work. So that the Kinyan is even stronger. So if it's stronger, then this is not Mile Ninu. Jihad Rav Papa, Havalei Tracer Alfei Zuze, he had 12,000 coins, is the case we saw in Boba Metzia, and he wanted to go and collect. Right? Kibei Chuzai, he had a debt outstanding, Kibei Chuzai, Yagnino Niyalei, the Rav Shmuel Bar Chacha. He gave them over to Rav Shmuel Bar Chacha to collect on his behalf. Why? Because the debtors would never give the money to his shliach, because then they'd be chayiv in the onsin on the way back. The only way they'd give it over to him is if he actually owned it. So he had to give possession to the coins or to the debt to Rav Shmuel Bar Chacha by giving possession of the coin to the collection to Rav Shmuel Bar Chacha as being the owner. Then they'd be willing to give it to him because then he would assume the onus on the derech. So he says, how did he give possession of it to him? Give with the threshold of his door. He gave him the threshold of his door, and he says, Kinyan Agav, you should take possession of the monies of the dead over here. Rav Papa was so excited that Rav Shmuel Barach was able to do this collection on his behalf, that he went out to the city, he went out of his city all the way out, he went to greet him. He made it halfway there to greet him to say how happy he was that he made the collection on his behalf. So the question over here is whether the Kinyan, why does the Kinyan Agav work over here? Because we're talking about an intangible item again. We're talking about our Shah that he's giving him permission to collect on his behalf. How does it work here? So Rabbeinu Tam answers the problem at the end. Rabbeinu Tam, the Takanat Chachamim here. Takanat Chachamim that it works, the Inyan Harshah, Shiuchala Sot Shliach, Afilu Bashah Milved. Even though it's a loan, Afgav Dein Yecholak Nota. Even though you can't be Makne a Milved, a Kinyan Agav, nevertheless, you can still create a Harshah to permit someone else to collect on your behalf. with the kinyan agav, and that's what's unique. It's karas chachamim that allows it in this case, even though in general we wouldn't allow such a kinyan agav with a regards to a loan, an intangible item. You can't do such a kinyan agav. So now the Gemara continues here with the end of the Mishnah. But are not included in the boat sale when you sell a boat, right? Are the workers on the boat, the sailors, not the sacks that hold the merchandise? Antiki, we explain in the Mishnah's merchandise, but that the Gemara says, what is my antiki? My antiki, Amara Papa Iska de Begava. That's the merchandise that's on the boat. That's not included in the sale of the boat. Okay, next Mishnah. Macharet HaKaron or Macharet HaPradot, or that person who sells the wagon does not sell the mules that go along with the wagon. This is when they're unhitched. Macharet HaPradot lo Macharet HaKaron. Someone who sells the mules doesn't sell the wagon. Macharet HaTzemed lo Macharet HaBakar. If you sell the yoke, you don't sell the cattle with the yoke, who are using the yoke. Macharet HaBakar lo Macharet HaTzemed. Again, if you sell the cattle, you don't sell the yoke with it. Riyudomer Damim Modin. No, what are you talking about? Look at the price. You know what he sold, but based on the price. Now wait, where was Rabbi Yehuda all along? We've had Mishnayot after Mishnayot. Never mentioned Damim Modin. So that's what we said Tosfos beginning of this perek, that a mocher at the bayit was dealing with kinyan karka, was dealing with items. So according to the Rashi from that, it's ein onah b'karkaot, there's nothing to talk about. Or according to Tosfos, even though there is maybe onah b'karkaot or ein onah b'karkaot, it's not connected. The fact is that property doesn't have pricing because different people will pay different prices for that. We know Tosfos limits onah b'karkaot to 50% or 100-200%, meaning that you only let it double the true value or cut it into 50%. Otherwise, there is onah b'karkaot according to Tosfos. But nevertheless, Tosfos says that still modim is not relevant by karka, even though there might be onah b'karkaot at some point. So this is the first time. In Amokhar Tasvina, it's the first time we get to see something where Damim Modim makes a difference. So Rabbi Yehuda says, Damim Modim, look at that. Ketzer, Amalo, Macharli, Tzimad, Chabba, Matayim Zuz. Sell me your yoke for 200 Zuz. Adabri Yadush, Ena Tzemid, Matayim Zuz. Nobody sells a yoke for 200 Zuz. Chamim Marin, Damim Raya. The Chamim say that Damim are not a Raya. We'll have to understand why. Money, or the amount of money is not a determination over here. So Tani, Rav Tachlifa, Bar Marova, Kameh, the Rabbi Bo. Right, he says, Machar et hakaron, machar et hapradot. He sells the wagon, he sells the pradot, he sells the mules with it. Our mission says just the opposite. What are you going to do? Amalei ismei. Eliminate the price, erase the price, it's not a good price. So he says, Amalei lo. No, the difference between the price and the Mishnah is whether they're hitched or not. In the Mishnah, they're not hitched together, so therefore they're not sold. They're independent items. In the price, when they're hitched together, if you sell the karon, you're selling the mule. You're selling the whole setup because they're hitched together. If they're hitched together, the sale includes the pradot, the mules along with it. Right. It sounds like he's presenting them, presenting him the items to sell, because otherwise he never had das. I would say that, but although it's interesting, what happens if at the time of the kinyan now they're always saying separate? He's saying, "Where's my mules?" Right. All right. Machar tetzemed or machar tebakar. Hey chidami, what's the case here? Ilaymas. We had a similar type of lashon in a machar tebayit. Hey chidami. Ilaym et dekar letzimda tzimda lo bakar bakar. People call a yoke a yoke, and they call cattle cattle. Then pshita. Of course, he didn't sell him anything else. Tim does ovinle. He said, I'm selling you a yoke. Bakar loves ovinle. I never mentioned anything about bakar, so why should they include bakar? Elo zekarle nami the bakar tzimda. So, you say that people call a bakar also tzimda, then kule is ovinle. Right, then of course he included it. If he calls it if people call it tzimid, bakar also, they mean it to mean an inclusive term, then of course he sold them bakar. Lo tzricha, ba'atzu dekarle tzimda, tzimda the bakar bakar. No, most people call a yoke, and cattle cattle. But ikanami dekarle bakar tzimda, some people, when they're talking about cattle, also call them tzimda, also call them a yoke. So therefore we don't know about this individual here. We don't know what his intent is. And since the lokeach, the money is now with the mocher, so the yad alokeach salatachtona over here. He's got the lower hand over here. So motzi mechaver alavarayos. Now we have a possibility that he bought a tzemed, and a possibility that he bought a tzemed and bakar. We just don't know the mocher when he was, offering him. We don't know what he meant. So Yehuda Savra Damim Modim, look at the price. Yehuda says, just look at the price. You look at the price, you'll know what he sold him. You'll know, we don't know what type of person he is, but the money will tell us what type of person he is. If he took 5 zuz, then he's selling him the yoke. If he took 200 zuz, he's definitely not selling him just the yoke. He was selling him the cattle. Rabbanan Savra in a Damim Raya. Chavim say that the money is not a raya. Okay, so now if the money is not a raya, what does that mean? The Chavim believe. V'imein Damim Raya, l'havi bitul mekach. What do you mean? That should be a bitul melkach. This is ona, like nobody's business. Meaning that he's charging him way over a sixth over here. He's charging him, you know, a couple thousand percent over the right over what should be the rightful price of its emet. So that should be a bitul melkach. Okay, fine. You're right. He doesn't get the bakar, but he should be able to terminate the whole transaction. He should be able to reverse the transaction. So where it says gechid teima bitul melkach l'rabbanan late luhu. What do you think that the Rabbanan, so what are you going to suggest? You're right. The Rabbanan don't believe in Bittul Mekach. They think that if you have Onah, so basically what their position is going to be is that there is Onah, because Onah has been a Torah. We know that. It's mentioned in the Torah. There is Onah here. So if you charge too much, you're in violation of Onah. But Bittul Mekach, they don't hold up. I mean, true, you violated the Isra of Onah, but there is no, right, annulment of the transaction. That's a maybe a din de chamim, and they don't agree with it. But that's not what's in the Torah. The Torah says, don't charge, overcharge. If you overcharge, you violate Onah. That doesn't mean that the transaction falls apart. It just means that you're in violation of the Isur. So they have a sviru that yoter mishut is kushtut atzma, vadei redimi, v'kano machzir Onah. So he thinks, the Rashbam quotes from his Rebbeim, that the original statement he disagrees with, that the position of Chamim will be this, that above a sixth will not be a bitul mekach, but will have the same din as a sixth itself. What's the din of a sixth itself? That the transaction stands and you have to return the onah. And that's what he says. He says that that's what his Rebbeim said that the Chamim were going to hold over here. That they hold there's no such thing as bitul mekach. Doesn't mean that they don't think there's bitul mekach at all. No, they think that bitul mekach is the same din as a sixth. That a sixth will be that you have the transaction goes through, but you have to return the onah. The Rashbam disagrees and says, no. What the Chamim mean over here is that bitul mekach means literally bitul. They hold there is no bitul mekach. The transaction will stand, and there will be no bitul mekach. And they'll think the same thing about a sixth. About a sixth where you say that the transaction stands and you're machzir the onah. No, you won't be machzir the onah in that case either. I mean that the Chamim believe that that's it. Onah is a violation of Isur Min HaTorah, but has no effect on the transaction. You do the transaction goes through. Yes, you're in violation of the Torah. There's no reason, there's no nullification or annulment of the transaction, and there's no returning of the excess if you paid a sixth over. That doesn't exist at all. That's where the Rashbam learns it. His Rebbeim learned it, which he rejects, which is that they don't believe it's bitul mekach, but everything has a din like a shtus, which is that if you overcharge, the transaction stands and you give the money back. The Rashbam disagrees and says no. So what's the Gemara's answer? Gemara says, Vatzna, don't we have a Mishnah in Baba Metziah, Rabbi Yehuda, Mer, Mocher, Sefer Torah, Behemah, Margalit? Someone who sells a Sefer Torah, an animal, or a margalit, in Lam Onah, there's no Onah on these items. Amrulo, the Chachamim responded, Lo Amru Ela Et Elo. So what do you mean? He says, Lo Amru Et Elo. These aren't the only items. Not the Elu is the previous Mishnah, which is by Karka, Vodim, and Shtarot. That's the only places we say there's no Onah. But we see there is Onah, according to the Chachamim, there is Onah. Not only Onah, but there's Bito Mekach in those cases, because the Chachamim in those Mishnayot say that there is bitul mekach. When they say that there's onah, they mean onah, and there's bitul mekach in those Mishnayot. So if that's the case, ma'ein damim raya. So when the Chachamim say ein damim raya, nami, what do they mean? So ma'ein damim raya, nami diktani davi bitul mekach ein ochanami. That's exactly what it means. When the Chachamim say that ein damim raya, that the monies that you pay are no evidence of how much he sold or what he sold over here, that's what they mean. They mean, you're right, the transaction's going to fall apart because the monies are not classified as a full amount. It's the wrong amount. He's overcharging him. So what's the din when you pay too much? The transaction's annulled. So true, he will not get the bakar over here. He paid 200 zuz for a tzemed for a yoke. So that's too much for a yoke. So Rabbi Yehuda says that dami modim, he'll get the cattle. Come and say, no, he doesn't get the cattle. All he gets is the tzemed. Oh, when you get a tzemed, there's onah. You're right. When there's a tzemed, there's onah, and the transaction will be annulled. So basically, he'll get his money back. He won't be able to enforce the transaction. He wants to keep tzemed. I guess he can keep it. But basically, the transaction will be annulled. According to you, the transaction will go through, and you'll get the bakar. That's the first answer. Vibai deima, the other possibility. The Rashbam says that the first answer was dochak, and this is the real answer. The real answer is ki amar rabbanan onah ubitul mekach b'chtei shadat toeh. That onah and bitul mekach only apply by the area or the extent to amount that a person would make a mistake. When a person overcharges you amount, and it would be reasonable for the buyer to make such a mistake about this amount, then there's a din of onah, and then there's a din of bitul mekach, meaning that if you charged more than a sixth, the transaction will be annulled, and if you charge a sixth, the transaction will do, and you have to return the excess amount. That only applies to transactions where the amount is within the realm of reasonable mistake that a person can make. But, if the amount is so extreme, or so much that even a normal person would pay 200 zuz for a yoke. Nobody would even make a mistake to pay 200 zuz for a yoke. In that case, lo imor, then we don't say it. Matana yoivle, we would say that he gave him it's an amount that is so excessive. Look, we won't say that. Imar matana yaivle. We'll say that he gave him a gift. So that would be the answer in the end. The answer in the end is that when the amount is so excessive, meaning that it's so much that it's not even within the realm of reason that a person could even make a mistake about this. No person in the world would know, reasonably assume that they were buying a yoke for 200 zuz. So in that case, it must be if he paid the money that he gave him a gift. Because otherwise, why would he ever give him such money? Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, no, the monies are indications that there was more in the transaction than simply the tzemet. The Chum say, no, it's a motzim chariv, a lover ayah. In that case, when he said tzemet, he meant tzemet. And if he said tzemet, he's only buying a yoke and he paid 200 zuz. There's no bitul mekach over here. There's no ano over here because nobody would make such a mistake. And the fact that he gave it is indicative of the fact that he must have been giving it as a gift in this instance. Okay, so we will stop over here.